everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, April the 10th. We are here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and we simulcast on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. So combined, the two stations give us tremendous reach all over Southern Arizona and Southeastern Arizona. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear our program anytime, anywhere in the world on my website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We usually have the day's show posted by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We are live, though, Monday through Friday, noon to 1. Today, we will get things going with an update on public financing of political campaigns. The Clean Elections Program is still alive, and its backers say it is now ready for campaign 2012. Also this afternoon, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. And Shelley is with me in studio, and just looking over at his smile, it is not there today. Another kind of down day, to say the least, on the market, but we will talk with Shelley coming up in about 20 minutes. 30 minutes past the hour, our monthly segment on the baby boom generation. Today we'll be focusing on volunteering, and then 45 minutes past the hour, our arts update with Margaret Regan. Margaret is the arts editor of the Tucson Weekly, and we're happy to have her as the Buckmaster Show arts segment contributor. We encourage you to be a part of the conversation. You can call us on our live line, 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Now on to clean elections. The legislature has killed an effort to let Arizona residents vote in November to decide the fate of public financings of elections. While the ballot measure was aimed at wiping out the 1998 voter-approved Clean Elections Act, it also would have constitutionally precluded any public funding for candidates for any public office. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Daniel Ruiz. He is with Clean Elections. He is the public information officer. Daniel, how are you this afternoon?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very well, and I think there's a lot of confusion about Clean Elections. Some people thought that it had gone away. It is still alive. Give us an update on where we are with it right now.
It's still alive. It's been quite successful over all these years. We've seen many of our state legislators and statewide office holders use Clean Elections in order to get in office. And I think in order to understand what it is, you have to look at the problem it was trying to solve. Back in the 90s, we've seen 7 state legislators indicted for taking campaign contributions and money under the table in exchange for their votes on legislation. Arizona citizens desired to allow the average Arizona citizen to run for office taking public financing. That way, they would not be beholden to anybody but the voters of their district. It's worked quite well over the past 14 years, and we look forward to a productive 2012 election cycle.
And what was the legislature trying to do with this deal?
Well, there was a attempt to repeal the Clean Elections Act. Unfortunately, it did not say that it would repeal the Clean Elections Act. It was something along the lines of Stop Taxpayer Money for Politicians Act. It didn't mention the Clean Elections Act that was passed back in 1998. And we're confident that Arizonans like clean elections. We've done polling that shows about 70% of people support clean elections here in Arizona. But we didn't want to go through the waste of time and sort of preclude clean elections here in 2012. So we worked with the legislature to compromise and address some of their concerns and make sure that that isn't on the November ballot.
Is clean elections a hybrid to Arizona, this particular form of public financing of elections?
Well, it's definitely pretty rare among the states. Maine and Connecticut have a similar system, but clean elections is sort of the groundbreaking public funding campaign finance model.
Talk a bit about, Daniel, who is eligible now to run for clean elections.
Well, many of your listeners, anybody that wants to get involved and run for office is able to do so with clean elections. It's available for statewide and legislative candidates. And as long as those individuals can articulate their viewpoints and their political platform and illustrate the support of their fellow voters, then they can qualify for clean election funding.
And what do the candidates have to agree to if they decide they do want to get into clean elections?
Well, they do have to illustrate the support of their district members. For legislative office, they illustrate that support by collecting at least $225 qualifying contributions. And for a corporation commission office, our statewide office this year, they would have to collect a minimum of $1,650. They also agree not to take any special interest money and limited the amount of personal funds and small contributions from individuals they get in order to jumpstart their campaign.
And if someone runs for office using clean elections, how much money will they then receive?
Well, for a legislative race in the primary, they will receive $14,355, and in the general, if they advance, they'll receive $21,533. For our Corporation Commission race this year, the primary amount is $91,874, and for the general election, it would be $137,811.
And where do these funds come from? Is this taxpayer money, or what's the funding source for clean elections?
Well, the main funding source is a surcharge on civil penalties and fines, so speeding tickets and fines of that sort. Currently, there is a mechanism that allows voters, taxpayers to give a voluntary tax donation. That is something that the legislature is looking to remove, and there's a bill going through the House and Senate that would remove that aspect of the act.
Do you think there are better candidates running now because of clean elections?
Well, there are more candidates, and there are more choices for Arizona voters, and that's a great thing. You know, it's tough to decide who best will represent a district. The people that are best to do that are the voters themselves, and I think if you give them more choices, they're going to make the best decision for themselves.
How about a candidate workshop, someone that wants to find out more information?
Well, we are holding them now. We began in December, and we're holding them through August. You can attend a candidate workshop that will give you information on how to run for office, either online and in person. So the online mechanism has been very helpful for our rural Arizonans.
Redistricting, how has that impacted the Clean Elections program?
Well, we received great news that our congressional lines were approved by the Department of Justice yesterday, so that was good news. Unfortunately, we're still waiting for our legislative lines to be approved, and what that means is that candidates don't really know which district they're running in at this point, so it has been a little confusing, and as election administrators, it's been frustrating in order to try and schedule the debates and candidate statement pamphlet organization, but we're working hard to make sure that the confusion is imperceptible to the voters, and the election goes smoothly this year.
Daniel Ruiz is with us on the Buckmaster Show. He is with Clean Elections. What percentage, Daniel, do you have that of candidates running for office are running clean?
You know, I don't have the exact percentage. We have about 54 candidates right now running clean. I can tell you, though, that 10 out of the 11 statewide office holders have used clean elections at least once in their career, and 70% of the legislature was elected with clean elections or used it one time in their career.
Do they have to take part in a debate sponsored by clean elections? Is that part of the deal?
They do. That was one of the major components of the Clean Elections Act, was to make sure that we have educated voters. So the commission hosts candidate debates where there is a participating candidate in the district, and we also send a candidate statement pamphlet to every voter. So these voters are informed.
That part of the deal that was being worked out in the legislature would have meant, or does it mean, less money for the Clean Elections Commission?
It does mean that the voluntary tax donation that normally came our way is potentially going to go away, and that our fund will consist solely of a surcharge on civil penalties and fines.
And there is a similar system of public financing used here in Tucson?
Yes.
And how is it different from the state system?
Well, it's for a different audience. It's for some of your city council and city elected officials, and thanks to this compromise bill that's going through the House and the Senate, that that program is safe also.
In clean elections, how soon do the people get their money when they, you know, they raise the $5 donation? How soon can they get their money?
Well, we do verify that every qualifying contribution they receive is from registered voters in their district, and that takes some time. The county recorders actually verify those forms. Once the county recorders let us know that the candidate has received the minimum amount, we're able to get a check available to them the next business day.
And are there some limits on what they can use that money for?
Yes, it has to be for a campaign-related expense, and there isn't a sort of all-inclusive list, but I think the candidates have done well to stay within the guidelines, and you have to be able to justify that it is for a campaign expense.
And folks can get more information?
On our website, cleanelections101.com, and they can contact our office at 602 602- 334-3477. We're accessible, and we want to make the political process as open as possible.
Daniel Ruiz, thank you very much for being with us, talking about clean elections. Clean elections survives and will be a part of the 2012 campaign. Daniel, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
Daniel Ruiz from Clean Elections on The Buckmaster Show, this Tuesday edition. Lots of financial information coming your way on The Buckmaster Show. After a couple of down days on Wall Street, we'll be talking with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley has the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. That's coming up next.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Fransheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and as you know, we always have the Tuesday Moneymaker Report, and at the beginning of the report, we have the Shelley Fishman, the Smile Index corresponding with the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and because Shelley's such a nice guy, he has a smile almost all the time, but today, it's kind of a...
Today, that would make me a grinning fool.
Well, it is serendipitous to have you on the program on a day when a lot of people are really talking about what's going on financially.
Well, you know, Bill, we've talked about the fact that we had a run-up since October that was probably partly based on some irrational exuberance. I don't believe the fundamentals warrant the kind of trajectory the market was on during the first quarter, the last quarter of last year, and the first quarter of this year. And now we've got some things that are kind of getting in the way, and people are pausing and saying this shouldn't continue. We need to take a breath. We need to take an assessment of where the economy is going. The Fed chairman, Mr. Bernanke, last week kind of signaled to the universe that the United States was not going to do very much more easing, more quantitative easing, that there wouldn't be a QE3, at least not one that he could foresee happening. He also confirmed that he was going to keep interest rates low, so that in effect is somewhat stimulative. But I think that what's going on in Europe, there was a Spanish, sovereign debt auction yesterday where the yield on the Spanish debt was a little higher than people were expecting. And as a result, that would indicate that the Spaniards are going to continue to have trouble raising the kind of money they need to raise to keep their economy going. So there's some headwinds there. You know, I always joke about this little election coming up and the fact that by definition, throws churn and uncertainty into the waters. Those things are never good for the markets.
Historically, April has been very good for the markets. I read that recently. So this is a little bit of a...
Yeah, buy in April, sell in May.
Yeah,
I don't know that I put much
in those old adages
stock into that. But what's important is, number one, don't panic. We're not in, this isn't even formally a correction yet. But more importantly, if your portfolio is properly allocated for your risk tolerance and your age, in other words, when you're going to need the money, you're probably not in too bad shape, even on a horrible day like today. I showed you kind of the portfolio that I watch on my handheld, and there was as much green even today as there was red. And the reason is, if you take a look at balance and you take a look at the proper hedges, that the stuff that is in your portfolio is going to protect you from downslides and ups, unfortunately. The flip side of protecting you from downsides is that you're not going to get as much movement on the upside.
That's why you have financial shock absorbers.
That's what it's there for, exactly.
On days like this?
Sure, sure. And these days do happen. You go a couple of weeks or even a couple of months of 30 points a day, up, you begin to think that is kind of your right and, your birthright in the world, that the Dow is going to continue to move up and all you have to do is count your pennies every day. It just never happens that way. Every time you get complacent, it turns around.
Shelley Fishman with us with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. And Shelley, so much of the focus is on the Dow from the media. Mm-hmm. They don't really look at some of these other, as I was saying, called them shock absorbers. It's not what is commonly reported. Everybody looks at the Dow.
And first of all, the Dow is a very shallow index. It's only 30 stocks. Now, traditionally, it kind of tracks where the economy is going, so it's not a bad indicator. You can certainly look at broader market indicators like the S&P 500, which will give you a broader view of stocks. You can take a look at the NASDAQ, which is going to give you a view of the high-tech sector. But none of that really takes into account the other things that we invest in when we have a well-balanced portfolio.
Talk about some of those.
Well, for instance, the bond market. And the bond market isn't just one thing. There's the treasury market. There's the municipal bond market. There are commercial bonds. And then there's some stuff that tend to be counter-cyclical or tend not to be correlated with, say, the broader bond market, things like high-yield bonds, other fixed income-like investments. There are real estate investment trusts, for instance, some of which are openly traded, some of which are not traded, that also tend to act like fixed income instruments. That's the word I'm looking for. I'm sorry. That will give you, even within that fixed income category, will give you some diversity. And, of course, the news media very rarely report on that stuff.
No, they don't report on the bonds. I don't think – maybe it's because very few people seem to understand the bond market.
That's right. And most media are in short sound bites, mm-hmm. and the bond market tends to work opposite the equity market. And so that would create a need for explanations every single time that most media people don't have.
How about commodities?
Well, commodities it's a great point, Bill. Commodities is yet a third sector that operates very differently and independently from the equities market.
Kind of the third track, right?
Yeah, it is. What people do tend to follow is precious metals, gold and silver. But there's a whole commodities market out there that, pork bellies and petroleum
coffee.
And coffee and
sugar.
And all of the stuff that,
stuff
that people
we use
do
every
trade
day. Yeah, that's
every
right.
day.
Mm-hmm.
That people just don't have any understanding of. And it is possible to integrate those things into a portfolio in such a way that the volatility in the portfolio is dampened considerably.
Do you get calls on days like this from some of your clients who are very worried?
Yes, I do.
And what do you tell them, Shelley?
Well, it depends on the client. If the client is 35 and aggressive, I say just, don't worry about it.
Plenty of time.
If the client is a new client who doesn't understand necessarily the airbags that we've built into their portfolio, then we review that. If a client is just in a desperate situation saying, I've heard that the world is falling apart, tell me it isn't falling apart. Well, the world, except in 2008, hasn't fallen apart, and probably won't. So I try to be reassuring, but at the same time, I never want to talk down to a client or be disdainful of that client's emotions, because that client's emotions are very important to that client in the moment.
They're very real to that particular client. Mm-hmm. Shelley Fishman is with us, certified financial planner. On a day where the market is not doing very well, really this downturn is now a few days old. Your prediction at the beginning of the year was about, was it 6%?
Yeah, it was 6% on the Dow. We started off the year on the Dow at around 12,003. Mm-hmm. That would have brought us to about 13,200. We actually got there, which indicated to me that we were going to back off, and we did.
And we're probably now down 2 or 3 percentage points.
Yeah, about 3%. What's important, Bill, is to understand that the economy is in very solid shape right now. It's slow, it's steady, it's growing in all sectors. We certainly have problems, especially on the employment front, but what we're seeing is trend lines that are just absolutely positive. And unless the folks in Europe screw it up for us, and I don't think they're going to, they're into a recession, a very mild recession, unless they do something stupid, this economy is going to continue to be the leader in the world, at least for the foreseeable future.
So it's not really surprising that the market is backing off a little bit. The growth had been predicted to be slow, probably
right.
will be slow, but the fundamentals you're saying are very solid.
Yeah, you know, when you've got a 2 or 3% GDP growth predicted, the idea that you would get more than a 6% movement in the stock market is pretty hard to justify.
It is. Shelley Fishman, where can folks reach you?
795-7950.
And if you want more information about Shelley Fishman, I suggest you can go to our website,
right.
buckmastershow.com. There is a, what they call, Shelley, a live link right to you. So that's a good way to do it.
That's great. That's
we
a,
both
very
get
easy.
Some,
and we both get some
traffic. Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. His bid for the Republican presidential nomination is over, but Rick Santorum says he'll continue the fight for the principles he believes in. Santorum, flanked by his wife and family today in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, announced that he is suspending his presidential campaign. Mitt Romney is congratulating Santorum on that campaign. Santorum also winning praise from Newt Gingrich. Gingrich says he's planning on staying in the race all the way to the convention. He says conservatives need what Gingrich calls a real choice in the contest. Stocks have been extending their worst slump of the year. The Dow has been down by more than 200 points today. Right now, it's off 200 at 12,730. The NASDAQ trading 56 points lower, and the S&P is down 23. More details at srnnews.com.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1234. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido, our friends at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. And one of our continuing focus segments here, at least once a month on the Buckmaster Show, is aging and the impact on the baby boom generation. Today we focus on how older adults in our area volunteer and can stay involved in our community. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Dana Bartholomew, Community Relations Coordinator at Splendido at Rancho Vistosa. Dana, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
I can't believe it. 77 million baby boomers out there?
That's right, 77 million.
And that's a lot of potential for volunteering opportunities.
Definitely. They have a stronger sense of social responsibility, and there is also evidence that there is more socially active in their later years, both philanthropic and also being involved in their communities.
The idea of retirement has really changed, hasn't it, Dana?
Definitely. The Harvard School of Public Health and Midlife Foundation did a study specifically on this, and they have found that there's an end to the mandatory or traditional retirement, and a lot of it is as a result of the decline in the defined benefits from retirement plans, also the changes in Social Security that may have caused many to remain in the labor force a little longer, improvements to the health and longevity of the Americans. They're living longer and older these days.
Kind of a change, too, in the occupational mix, sometimes that maybe with a married couple, maybe one wants to retire and one doesn't, mm-hmm. and maybe the one that wants to retire does retire but still wants to continue to be active.
Definitely, and getting involved in their community is a great way to do it.
So instead of retiring en masse in their late 50s or early 60s, the boomers are more likely to continue working longer and move gradually towards what would be called complete retirement. You know, Dana, I don't like the word retirement. One possible way to think about that is maybe kind of redirect your energy, right?
Definitely. Don't retire, redirect. And the study actually shows that baby boomers soon will have the opportunity to redefine the meaning and the purpose of their older years. As the demands of life, family, raising children, the command attention to their workplace, as those things decline, they have more free time. They've become more socially resources. The opportunities are endless. They're actively participating in the life of their communities.
In 2010, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported about 25% of adults age 55 and older did some kind of volunteer work. And the director of the Senior Corps, Dr. Erwin Tan, who is also the strategic advisor for veterans and military families, recently stated that America's baby boomers are a resource of extraordinary proportions, the largest, healthiest, best educated generation in history. And when you think about it, there are so many volunteering opportunities, aren't there, in this community?
There are very, very many. There's needs all across the area. You can look at volunteermatch.com. You can go to Volunteer Southern Arizona, or you can go to borderbeat.net, and you'll find links to volunteer centers in Southern Arizona, United Way, Habitat for Humanity, many other organizations that you can get involved in the community.
How about at Splendido, what kind of volunteering opportunities have your residents been involved in?
Well, Splendido is pretty amazing. Our percentage is really much higher than 25% of what our residents are involved in their community. Last year alone, they had 11 projects that they did throughout the year. Examples are like they collected over 2,200 houseware items for the homeless Tucson veterans. They've written letters to the wounded troops at the VA hospital and hand-delivered them. They collect pill bottles and personal items for Primavera Foundation. A couple of my favorites, one of my really, really sweet favorites is the residents collected new pillowcases, really cute design flowers and all kinds of really fun things. And they actually made sundresses and sent them to young girls in Africa. And they were strung across our art gallery room at Splendido. And it looked, you know, just like Easter dresses just strung across. Really sweet.
When your new residents come into Splendido, they're probably many times they consult with you about volunteering opportunities. How do you pair them up with some really great opportunities to volunteer?
Well, they're so broad mixed. I mean, they're getting involved with the military, but in a lot of ways, like there's military bases all over the world, and they clip coupons every Wednesday they'll take expired coupons in commissaries abroad. They won't take them in the United States, but abroad they do, and they package them and ship them. So they've gotten involved with the military. They've gotten involved with the local toy drives at Christmas. They also have a scholarship fund that they've collected every single year for employees of Splendido, young 16 to 18 year olds or children of employees. And last year they funded 15 students with scholarships over $3,000 each.
Wow, that's really great. Amazing. That they can continue to give back. And volunteering is so important in this community. As I was pointing out, that a lot of the organizations that keep Tucson running would not be able to continue without volunteering. And what's wonderful about the volunteering, Dana, as you well know, is you can really pretty much set your own hours, can't you?
Most definitely. It's something you can do in the evening, at home, when you're sitting and watching television, you can do it any time of the day or night, and there's so much different broad range of how to volunteer or how to get involved in your community.
And again, some of those places, borderbeat.net has some volunteering opportunities for you. Volunteer Center of Southern Arizona, United Way of Tucson, Southern Arizona Habitat for Humanity, the Community Gardens. I know the Sonora Desert Museum, mm-hmm. also the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum has volunteering opportunities, as does the Tucson Botanical Garden. So there are all sorts of volunteering opportunities available. If people want to find out more about Splendido, what's the best way, Dana?
Probably
go to the website.
Our website, right? Yes, or they can call us directly at 878-2600, 520 area code, or www.splendido.com.
Okay, Dana Bartholomew has been with us, Community Relations Coordinator at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso. Any big activities coming up at Splendido?
We do a couple of them a month. We've got a wine and food pairing this week, which is great, and then we'll have a Cinco de Mayo event coming up, and we're planning a nice a series June through October, a medical series that's going to be very, very interesting.
And so if someone wants to take a look at Splendido, people are encouraged just to come in?
Definitely.
And where are you located exactly?
Rancho Vistoso over at Oro Valley. We're off of First Avenue, turns into Rancho Vistoso and Oro Valley.
Dana, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Coming up now on 12:43 on the Buckmaster Show, we will be talking with Margaret Regan from the Tucson Weekly, our arts segment on the Buckmaster Show. That's coming up next. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:47 on this Tuesday afternoon. The Buckmaster Show Arts Report is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run. Since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services, and he even has hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing in the Interior Design Center at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And joining us now for the Buckmaster Show Arts Report, the Tucson Weekly Arts editor Margaret Regan, who is kind enough to join us on the Buckmaster Show as our arts contributor. Margaret, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing real well. Good to see you. And as usual, there is a lot to talk about in the arts. You've got a Tucson Weekly story coming up this week, which will be available probably online tomorrow on Wednesday, probably around 5 o'clock and beyond.
That's right.
And if you'd like a hard copy of the Tucson Weekly, it should be available at all the usual locations by Thursday. But your piece is about Hopi quilts.
Yeah. What an interesting show. This is at the Arizona State Museum, which, as you know, is kind of a museum of anthropology, covering a lot of native peoples of the region. But Hopi quilts is an art form I had never heard of before. And I learned by going to the show that anthropologists have more or less not looked at it because they thought, not really an authentic cultural expression. It's an adaptation of, you know, an Anglo tradition. But it was just so interesting. Missionaries came out to the Hopi Mesas in middle of the, you know, the late 19th century. Mormons, Baptists, Mennonites, Moravians. And of course, they were out to convert people and save their souls, but most of those missionaries also had a project to Americanize people. They were scandalized that the ladies on the reservation did not sew. The men did. The Hopi tradition was that the men were the weavers, so they were the ones who had everything to do with cloth. So the missionaries took to rectify this situation, taught sewing and various kinds of needlework to the women and girls. And pretty soon, the quilting followed. They found out that the Hopi women really enjoyed doing quilting bees, getting together. What they didn't anticipate was that the men, being weavers, also really took to quilting.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
This is an area of Native American art I was not aware of.
Right,
the Hopis or any Native Americans were doing quilt work.
Right,
and this particular show, does it focus on a time period?
Yeah, interestingly, as we all know, you know, the Hopis are a very poor nation, and so these quilts were very functional quilts. So there aren't very many historic quilts available. So this show only starts in the 1970s. So a lot of the quilt makers in the show are people living now or, you know, only recently deceased, you know, late 20th century quilters.
Is there a market for this? Are they selling these?
Evidently. The show was really inspired by a woman in Green Valley, an Anglo woman who got wind of this and became a big collector, and she donates a lot of materials to the Hopi people. So I guess they try to sell them. But one thing I learned about the Hopi naming ceremony for babies is very important. And one of the men in the show was identified. He does this professionally. He has a job making and selling these baby naming quilts to people who have new babies who need them for their ceremonies.
And the Hopi aesthetic that we see so much, their imagery, is that then carried over into the quilt tradition?
Yes, it is, although it's blended with, you know, sort of the wider quilt aesthetic of, you know, the standard patterns. There's something called the log cabin pattern, the crazy quilt. But then the images that they put in the middle of their quilt box are very distinctively Hopi, this kind of swirling black and white geometry that we see on their pottery, and some basketry images, a lot of kachinas and butterflies and corn. And the other thing they do is that they paint on their quilts, which I don't think I have ever seen before on quilts. So really, just a small show, 20 quilts, but a quite interesting story about cultural adaptation.
Well, we thank you for bringing that to our attention, and folks can read all about it in the Tucson Weekly, Margaret Regan's story, Hopi Quilts, Unique Yet Universal, at the Arizona State Museum. And the Arizona State Museum, although the title says Arizona State Museum, and you're thinking, oh, it must be up at ASU. No, the Arizona State Museum at the University of Arizona.
Yeah,
it
we're
is
lucky
confusing.
To have them.
We
yeah,
are with we their are. Incredible archives of cultural material that they have from the Southwest. Really unbelievable.
Yeah, amazing pots.
Tucson Artists Open Studio. That's coming up.
Yeah, this weekend. You can spend two whole days, Saturday and Sunday, traveling all around Tucson to visit artists in their own studios. There are probably 100 or more artists involved. And interestingly, this is, you know, an artist-driven grassroots thing. Tucson Pima Council for the Arts does the big art studio tour in November every year. But the artists feel that they need to be out meeting their public more often than not. So the last few years, they have organized this spring one all on their own, get no funding for it. They just do it. So
It's a fun event. They've got a website where you can find their maps. I think it's openstudiostour.com. You can find people mostly, I would say, clustered primarily midtown, downtown. But I saw one artist on the roster way up in Dove Mountain and one in Oro Valley.
So they were feeling that the November event is very successful, but they probably needed a little spring send-off
for the artists. Everybody enjoys these events because you go to the studio, you meet the artists, it's fun to talk to them. And it's really fun to go into studios and see all their materials there and this sort of creative disorder that they all work in. And a lot of them have beverages and some snacks for you. So it's a really fun afternoon for
Should
yourself.
Should be a lot of fun this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, April 14th and 15th, 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. Check out your favorite artists. The best way to find out more would be to go to the website openstudiostour.com, and they'll have the complete listing. Theater, Arizona Theater Company opening Red.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting because, as you know, I'm very interested in art, and this is a play about the abstract expressionist Mark Rothko, who's a really interesting character. You know, he does these, or did these, beautiful meditative color works, mostly in kind of horizontal blocks of color. Just gorgeous, you know, almost religious. You know, they're so profound and deep when you sit and observe them. So his paintings seem tranquil, but I guess he led a troubled life, ended in a suicide. So this play imagines, I think it's the last 10 years of his life, as I understand it. Of course, I haven't seen it yet. And they have an assistant. Apparently, he never did use assistants in the studio, but for the purposes of the play, they needed an interlocutor. So
yeah, you needed something.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, it'd be a one-man play.
One-man play.
One-person play, yeah.
Open, man and his paintings.
Yeah, Friday night, Temple Music, Temple of Music and Art, then the Winding Road Theater Company. They continue with a classic.
Yeah, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf up at the Cabaret Theater. Winding Road's an independent little company that's been around for 4 or 5 years now, and they try on some pretty challenging work, and as you know, that's a very challenging play. A lot of people have seen the movie with Richard Burton and Liz Taylor. It's a kind of a slog fest of an academic drunken, verbal slog fest.
Borderlands, but, continuing with Lidless at the Zuzi Theater.
Borderlands usually plays there. That's a very nice little theater in there, and that's another challenging play about torture and Guantanamo Bay and our whole relationship with that.
Margaret Regan is with us. She is the Tucson Weekly Arts Editor, and our art segment on the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Mohs, MohsGallery.com. Dance, one of your favorite areas, Margaret Regan, a young jazz dance company called River North Dance Chicago.
Right, and they'll be lighting up Centennial Hall on Saturday night. I didn't actually write about that this time, so I don't have as much information on it as I usually do, but I know that they're last time I went to a show at Centennial Hall, which was to see Alvin Ailey, the director of UA Presents came out and said that he thought that River North Dance Chicago would be the best show that they were having this season. So,
and I would think because of Chicago's fine Irish heritage, there'll be something Irish infused into the young dance company as they perform.
Well,
at,
you know, tap dancing and Irish step dancing
go
have a
together.
Kind of a relationship.
Saturday night at Centennial Hall. And for our classical music fans, the Tucson Symphony Hall will be the Tucson Symphony Orchestra in the venue TCC Music Hall. That's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, Friday night and Sunday afternoon, they do their big classical concerts, and they're calling this one the Russian Masters. There's going to be a Tchaikovsky piece, always popular Tchaikovsky, Symphony No. 4, Prokofiev, a Violin Concerto No. 2. But what they're really excited about is that they have this young violinist named Stefan Ajaki. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. He's 26 years old, and people are saying, here's a quote from the Washington Post, talent that's off the scale. He's a new young sensation. They're very excited to have him down here at TSO. And so he'll be working with a guest conductor who will be in town for the first time, Lior Shambadad.
An Israeli conductor, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Making his TSO debut as guest conductor. And again, that is Friday. And then there will be a Sunday performance, Tucson Symphony Orchestra at the TCC Music Hall. And I also want to put a plug in for your piece about Davis Dominguez Gallery in Tucson. Some of your favorite artists or their work down there. Very nice piece.
That's right. Yeah. Some really interesting painters. Tim Murphy, who I think is an undersung painter in Tucson. I never hear much about him outside the confines of the Davis Dominguez Gallery, but he's a very gifted colorist, and he's trying something brand new in this show. He's gone almost into cubism, but still with amazing colors. And
that show, you can read more about it in the current edition of the Tucson Weekly. Margaret Regan, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. Good to be here.
The Buckmaster Show Arts Report, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing in the Interior Design Center, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. The Buckmaster Show, also brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates, certified public accountants, coming up now on the home run season for the taxes, so you might want to check out CPA Michael C. Flowers at 2919 East Broadway. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, the Tuesday edition. Thank you very much for being with us. We will be back with you on KVOI AM 1030 The Voice tomorrow afternoon, noon to 1. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.